It is said that familiarity breeds contempt. That is, that when we become too familiar with something, we lose the sight of its value and we diminish its worth in our eyes. And the scene that we have before us in Luke chapter 2 that I read to you earlier on the hillside outside Bethlehem and then in that inn's stable within the city, those views, those scenes lose their significance because of the familiarity of this story. And we need to consciously come again to a passage like this and to seek, as it were, to put ourselves in the shepherd's sandals, to stand where they are standing, to prostrate ourselves where they prostrate themselves, to walk the lanes that they walked, and to enter into that hallowed place where heaven met earth, and to bow down with them in adoration and praise. I want you first of all to see the sights that the shepherds saw on the hillside outside Bethlehem, the sight of the angels. There they were, going about the work of the night that they had engaged in so many, many, many times before. They were on the hillside, the shepherds with their flocks all gathered together as one large flock, and each of those shepherds taking responsibility for the entire flock. Some would rest, some would sleep, while others stayed awake and stayed alert for wild animals that would come and try to snatch away the weak among the flock, or robbers that would come and try to steal away the best of the flock. And so they would take turns through the watches of the night until day would at last dawn again, and they would lead the sheep into the pastures and they would watch over them again. And so the routine would go on night after night, day after day. But here on this particular night, something strange happens. An angel appears before them. How he came, we're not told. Whether it was with the suddenness that the great angelic host appeared a few moments later, or whether he came walking up the hill, we're not told. But with the coming of the angel, there was the coming of the glory of God. In other words, there was no mistaking this angelic being for the reality of who he was. There was no questioning of what kind of being this was that accosted them on the hillside. They were filled with fear, for the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is glory reminiscent of the glory of God that accompanied the Israelites as they made their escape from Egypt. And we're told that the glory of God came in that pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night. There was a great brightness that hovered over them and protected them from the pursuing Egyptian army. It was a brightness that would guide them through all the years of their wilderness wanderings. It was the visible representation of the presence of God in their midst. And here with this angel is the glory of the Lord. This is God's angel, and he is speaking God's words. And into the midst of the darkness of that night, the brightness of God's glory shone. As the angel spoke to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. good news has come for you. You as poor shepherds out in the night, as everyone else is wrapped up warmly in their beds in the city. To you I have brought good news, and this is good news for all the people of Israel. This is good news of God's plan unfolding. This is good news of the Messiah coming. This Messiah for whom they have waited for so, so long. This Messiah that was first promised in the Garden of Eden as the curse came upon fallen mankind for Adam's rebellion against God in eating the forbidden fruit. This Messiah who was promised as the seed of Abraham, who would come to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. This Messiah who was to be a son of David, who would one day sit upon his throne and rule over his people forever and ever. And no enemies would again attack. No other power would again overwhelm. For he would be invincible. He would be the great conqueror. He would be the eternal victor. And he would set up his kingdom, and all the nations of the world would come to him and bring tribute to him and bow down to him. And this is the message then that these shepherds on the hillside are hearing. Good news of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. He is Messiah. He is the Anointed One of God. He is the Saviour for whom you have been waiting for so long. And how astounding that message must have been for those shepherds there out on the hillside, that they should be the first ones to hear the public proclamation of the Messiah's birth. Yes, others have heard it. An angel had come to Mary and told her that she was the favoured one, the chosen one, through whom the Messiah would be born and brought into this world. Yes, her betrothed, Joseph, had had an angel visit him as well, and he had been told not to divorce Mary, but to take her as his wife, and to shield her and to protect her and to provide for her. For the one who was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. He was to be named Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. But those announcements of the birth were private announcements. They were hidden announcements. They weren't public announcements, but here on the hillside outside of Bethlehem, the shepherds hear the angels' good news that will bring joy to their own hearts as they hear the Messiah has been born, the one that Israel has been longing for centuries, has at last come. Here is a word in the darkness of their existence. After 400 years of silence from God, God speaks. And it is not some distant prophecy now that he speaks. It is not something that is far off in the future. It is not a word of encouragement to continue to be patient, that at the right time God's Messiah would come into the world. But here is the announcement that he has come. He has been born. He lies there in a manger in Bethlehem, the city of David. And when the announcement is made, as the shepherds are prostrate on the ground for sheer fear at the appearance of the angel and the glory of God that surrounded them, suddenly there's a whole host, an innumerable multitude of angels praising God. what that must have been then for those shepherds on the hillside, so fearful of the one angel. And now there's an angelic choir singing the praises of the God who is worthy of all adoration and glory and praise. He is the God who is in the highest. He is the God who is over all. He is the God over all gods, the Lord over all lords. And they have come from him to bring this news and to proclaim it to the world. He is a God who seeks peace for the world. He is a God who is full of compassion. Though he is sovereign over all, and in his righteousness and holiness cannot look upon the sins of the world, yet he is full of compassion for this world of sin, and desires to be at peace with this world that is rebelling against him. And so those who meet with his favour shall know his peace. And the angels praise this God for the greatness of his love and compassion for the world that deserves his wrath, but will know his peace. What a sight to behold on the hillside outside Bethlehem. And then the angels, they went away. And the darkness covered them once again. And in the darkness, they begin to talk. They talk of the things that they have heard and the things that they have seen. And they determine together that this is something that must not be put behind them as some hallucination, some weird vision, but they have been given information that they can prove and that they can know that this was true. This is an encounter that demanded a response. This wasn't simply a light and sound show intended to entertain them. This was a glorious announcement of God's peace towards mankind, to be heard, to be received, to be acted upon. And so the shepherds, they say to one another, let's go. Let's go from here on this hillside. Let's go into Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened. This thing that the Lord our God has made known to us. And so they went with haste. The glory of God is barely faded away as they rush down the hillside and into Bethlehem to search for that manger in which a baby lies. And there they see another sight, the sight of a baby. They went, they saw, and the angel's words were true. There he was, such a strange sight, there in the stable of that inn, in that feeding trough for the animals, in the manger, was a baby. And it had been wrapped up and set there. Such an unusual sight. And yet this was exactly what the angels had said. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This is the sign for you. This is the proof that the news we have brought is the good news that Israel has been waiting for. This is the evidence that the words we have spoken concerning God's goodness are trustworthy words here in this physical reality. The truth of the Saviour is visibly proclaimed. And there, lying in that manger, unknown to the shepherds, was the incarnate God, the Son of God, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man, as the hymn writer says. There, in that small life form, was the giver of life, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There to be swaddled by his mother, to be fed by his mother, to be held and cuddled and kissed by his mother, as the Lord of glory, the one who holds all things in his hands, the sustainer of all life in this world. There he lies, a helpless baby, dependent on Mary for his food and his shelter and his protection. How can this be, that God should so humble himself and come into this world that didn't know him, didn't recognize him? And these shepherds, they come and they see the baby, but they don't see all of his glory. It's a sight for them to see this proof of the angel's message. But can they fully comprehend what lies before them in that manger? They are struck, though, with the truthfulness of the angel's claim. And they depart from there, telling all who they encounter the things that they had heard, the things that they had seen. And people were absolutely amazed. They were astonished at the things that these shepherds were claiming to have seen and heard. But the shepherds, they worshipped. They worshipped God. They honoured and glorified him for showing them this favour, that to them this announcement should be made, that to them should be given the privilege of seeing the Messiah laid to rest in that manger. That to them these sights and these sounds should be experienced. The truth of what they saw and heard must be shared, and so they share it as they worship God, gathering together their scattered sheep on the hillside, returning to pasture them as the day dawns. And no doubt these things would have been the talk for days and days yet to come. What God had said, the proof that they had seen, the hope and the expectation of the Messiah. And it is doubtful that these shepherds saw the outcome of those things. Perhaps some did. Perhaps some 30 years hence would see the man and hear his words, But for most, that was probably it. The sight of that baby in a manger in Bethlehem. The proof that the Messiah had come. But we in these verses must see more than the shepherd saw. We must see the Saviour of whom the angels spoke. Unto you is born in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. The shepherd's sight, it was limited. The shepherd's understanding of what they saw, it was limited. Yet they acted upon what they heard. They acted upon what they saw. As they fell prostrate before the glory of God and heard the voice of the angel and the host who sang the praises of God, they believed those words. They acted upon those words, and they saw that night in Bethlehem the beginning of a new age. They believed that that helpless baby was the Messiah. And as the years rolled by, that helpless baby would grow to be a man who would deliver Israel. That was their hope. That was their joy. But this was far more than that. Here is the incarnation of the Son of God. Here is God coming in the flesh. Here is God coming to be the second Adam, to be the perfect representative for his people. And so he must be born. He must become one of us. He must become flesh and blood as we are flesh and blood, that he might live for us and that he might die for us. And that baby lying in the manger in Bethlehem, beginning his life there, began a life that would climax in crucifixion. Here was a baby that was born with the purpose of dying. You know, there's no other baby in the whole world that is born for that purpose. Oh yes, it is appointed to everyone to die. That is the judgment of God upon sinners. It isn't our purpose to die. It is the judgment of God that we deserve death. But this baby was born to die. He came into this world to die. He came into this world to be the saviour of sinners. And so we must see him as he is. We must see him as the Saviour. We must see him as the God incarnate who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So even as we look into that manger and see that helpless baby, we must see beyond it to the cross. And see the man who hung there, having been mocked and beaten and now crucified, bearing in his body the guilt of sin that was not his own, that he might pay the penalty that others deserved. And so the Bible tells us here is good news in Jesus. Good news for humanity. Good news for sinners. good news of a Saviour. The shepherds heard good news. They believed the good news. They acted upon that good news. They saw the evidence of the truth of that good news. And they worshipped God for his good news to them. And you must do the same. Here is good news, that God sent his Son into this world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That he is bringing all things to their ultimate conclusion, and there will be a ridding of sin from creation, and it will be renewed, regenerated, restored to the purity and perfection that it had in the beginning. Oh, we don't see it now, do we? We don't see the fullness of it. There is a groaning, an aching within our hearts for the reality of this thing. But do you not see that was what the shepherds had? When the good news came to them, what did they see? They saw a baby. A weak, helpless baby. But they trusted that the baby was the Messiah, and it gave them joy, and they glorified God. And what do you see? You see a world that is still at war with God. You see all the crime, and the hurt, the pain, the sorrow around us in this world. But do you believe that the Saviour has come? Do you believe that he is coming again? And that all of this will be brought to an end? We have to believe, and we have to see, and we have to glorify God as we follow him. And one day, the promise and the proof will be realized in all of its glory. It was a stunning sight, that on the Judean hillside, and the glory of God came down, and the angel spoke the good news. We lose sight of its amazing unfolding through our familiarity with these verses. But we must not allow it to do that. And we must not lose sight of the amazement at the announcement that we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. It needs to stir us every day to wonder, love, and praise to our God, that he has made this possible through the death of his Son, and he who has begun this good work will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for that baby born in Bethlehem, where all the hopes and the dreams of Israel rested. We thank you that in him all of our hopes can rest and not be put to shame. For he has won the victory over sin and death, and we but wait for his coming in glory. Help us to believe. Help us to follow. Help us to see the glory of our Saviour, and then to enter into that glory forever and ever. We pray in his precious name. Amen.